Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
She claimed it was hers.
No, you're not talking about it. My beef from Carolyn. No, she a pretty lady. She's a rotten recipe stealing bitch. Doris. No, no, careful who your friends are.
And welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, January 7th. I'm J.E. Skeets, rolling with the Bassmaster, Mr. Carhart himself, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o!
Hey,
oh, we got the international man of mystery taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friend.
Lee. Last but not least, making the magic happen is J.D.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live here on YouTube. Please like and comment and subscribe. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. Help you boys get to 25,000 subs. We're on our way. It's in play.
Getting
so
close.
Keep telling your friends. And yeah, make sure you've subscribed to No Dunks on YouTube. Guys, we stepped on the beach yesterday to answer some of your emails and tweets. Tass joined us. We had the full squad. Yes, Tass talked about recycling, as one does when Tass is on the podcast. It was a lot of fun. Now, that said, we didn't share that episode on Twitter or Instagram or our Facebook page, so maybe this is a surprise to some of you, because it didn't really feel right with what was going on yesterday. A silly NBA podcast can obviously feel very inconsequential at times like this, but it is up there if you want to go listen to it. Thank you for sending in your emails, your comments and stuff like that. Keep them coming. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. The players in the league, they decided to play hoops last night, as the Celtics and Heat said in a statement, to bring a little joy into people's lives. So that's, I think that's what we're doing here. That's the approach we're taking, of course, with No Dunks here on a Thursday morning. Bring a little joy. So thank you for joining us or listening to the podcast a little bit later in the day. Crazy, of course, day in American history yesterday. Wild stuff, and I'm sure it's going to pop up maybe even throughout this show. But we're going to play a little What You Got.
What you got?
What you got?
What you got?
What you got? Now, this first one is a little wild. Bradley Beal set a career high with 60 points last night versus Philly, but it came in a loss and he was not happy. I'm pissed off, Beal said. I'm mad. I don't count them, any of my career highs. They've been in losses, so I don't give a damn. You can throw it right out the window with the other two or three I've had. So my what you got is actually a would you rather, Lele. Same thing. Would you rather score 60 in a loss, Lee, or 0 points in a win? What you got?
This is so tough because it is my guy Bradley Beal out there doing it. And getting to 60 was tough because he was close, and then they just couldn't get him the ball. They turned it over a couple of times, and he had some bad looks. And then it was really at the free throw line when the game was over that he got that 60. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, I mean, okay, in January, I'll take the 60 and a loss. That's fine. If we're talking game 7 of the NBA Finals, I'll take the 0, okay? I'll take the 0 and a win. But the 60 and a loss, because he was just cooking last night, Bradley Beal. He had it going on in that third quarter. He had it going in the first half. You know, when he has got that shot going, you know, one of the reasons I like him so much is because he's just such a beautiful shooter of the ball. Mm-hmm. And he was getting to his spots and just knocking down everything. And he was going inside as well. He was just incredible to watch. But the bigger picture here, of course, is, again, it's just another loss to the Wizards. And I feel that Beal is just squandering some of his career right now in Washington. I hope he can get out of there because I think he deserves to be on a bigger stage with a better team, with a team that's at least close to contending. Again, the Wizards are just going to be really pushing just to get into the playoffs, which is not what where he wants to be at this stage of his career. So, yeah, this is a tough one. Seeing him just light it up last night in a loss. I mean, they had to come back from a long way down to get back into this game, and they nearly pulled it off, but they couldn't close the game. Another impressive finish, actually, by the Philadelphia 76ers. I thought that was another good way for them to close out the game.
Yeah, Joel Embiid was a monster late, and he let everybody know after the game. He was like, you know, he gave some credit to his teammates, but he's like, no, this is what I do. I close this thing. He had an awesome, awesome line. And you're right, Sixers stay rolling here. But the Wizards, poor Bradley Beal. I mean, a lot of these like 50s and 60s that he's put up, they do come in losses, Trey. But the question is for you. I have a
oh,
feeling
on,
your answer is going to be.
Come on, buddy.
60 and a loss, no brainer for Trey Kirby.
Absolutely. We're not talking about Terrence Ferguson on this show to lead things, right? That guy played 18 seconds last night, didn't score for the 76ers. But the story's Bradley Beal. Like Lee's saying, if you're going for 60 in a Game 7 of the NBA Finals and you lost, you'll probably be sad. And maybe if you're Bradley Beal and you keep having these career highs and keep losing, you'll be sad. But something is in common here. Bradley Beal is still there. He's still scoring all these points, but they ain't no defense in Washington. This reminded me of Hawks versus Nets from last week where the Wizards came in. You know, they're not going to play defense. So the 76ers said, all right, we'll see if we can outscore you. They were able to do it because Bradley Beal just wasn't able to keep it going there in the fourth quarter. Where'd he go, mate?
Well, I think they were almost forcing it a little bit, to be perfectly honest with you there, trying to get in that 60, because he had that step back, looked like a three, but they only gave him 2 on Embiid, which would have given him 60. And then after that, there was a couple of possessions that they just forced it, I thought, trying to get it to him. Ish Smith basically was running down the lane, and he kicked it out to Bradley Beal to get the three, which, again, you know, teammates are trying to help their guy get to that milestone, of course. But they should have tried to win the game as well. There, Ish Smith should have gone in there and tried to get that layup. It would have brought them, I think, within 5 at the time. But yeah, that's really, really what it was for me. Is it just like at the end of the game, the Sixers, Wizards were forcing it, and Beal just couldn't get loose. The Sixers defense was pretty good on him as well. They were kind of pretty much trying to prevent him from putting a 60 up on them. So, combination of things. But that third quarter, he was just incredible, where he, I think he had 25 in that third quarter. And man, some of those shots he was knocking down were
pure.
Just, oh, so beautiful. Like when he gets his feet set and he rises up, mechanically, that is how kids should be taught to shoot the basketball.
Yeah, I remember when he was drafted. Exactly. Ray Allen was the comparison. Yep. Lee, I love this this new phrase you've been using a lot during the show this season, a beautiful shooter of the basketball.
The basketball,
I'm sure everyone would like to hear your top 5 beautiful shooters of the basketball. Maybe it's something we can do in the future. But if you're the Sixers, are you concerned about this game that you gave up this many points to the Wizards and to Bradley Beal? The only reason I would say a teensy tiny bit is because the Sixers are a good defensive team. Ben Simmons is an incredible defensive player, being a huge point guard. But one spot where he can struggle is with these little tiny guards, and I don't think that's necessarily a place that the Sixers have addressed right now. Simmons is still going to be their point guard. He's still going to be their number one perimeter defender, but they don't necessarily have that guy who can stick a small guard like Ish Smith, who had a pretty decent second half, or Bradley Beal, who's handling out there on the perimeter. That was Josh Richardson last year. He was supposed to be their perimeter stopper. Obviously, he's gone, replaced now with Danny Green and Seth Curry, neither of who are as quick on the ball playing defense.
Yep.
So maybe that's something that could come back to bite them in the future, playing a team like the Nets with Kyrie Irving, or perhaps the Celtics whenever Kemba Walker comes back. Those little guards have always given the Sixers problems because they play such a huge team. That seems to still be the case.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, these teams like the Sixers, though, they must see the Wizards on the schedule, and even the Hawks for that matter, and just be like, all right, everybody's going to eat tonight. Let's basically pick up hoops. It's Wednesday night hoops for us, Trey.
Yeah.
Happen on Wednesday night. It's like, all right, there's not going to be a lot of defense out here. Maybe a couple possessions. All right, Skeets, you don't got to play defense and pick up ball. That's enough. Now let's just run and gun. And it must be fun because I guess what I'm saying is that I can see why it's easy to fall into that trap. When you do play a team that doesn't have a great defensive backbone, well, then you're like, well, we can score at will, so do we need to put the effort in on that other end? And they had a huge lead, like you said, Lee. I mean, they were playing really, really well, and then they took their foot off the gas, and Beal and the Wizards got back into it. But it would be tough not to fall into that lull, I think, when you play some of these teams. I also have a question for you guys and for everybody joining us on the stream team. Has a guy scoring 50-plus in a game lost a little... what's the word I'm looking for? It's a little more lackluster, I guess, to you than it used to be, or is that just me? Like, I don't get as excited for even a 60-point game, which is stupid. It's like it's become so... It's not common, but it feels like it is a lot more common.
Yeah, I think it does, because the scoring seems to be a lot easier right now, and the three-point game has really changed things as well, where so many people are just shooting. Now, Beal, like you were saying the other day, it's not like he had 12 threes or anything like that. He scored a lot throughout the game in all sorts of ways. You know, the two-pointers, the three-pointers, and he got to the free-throw line. But it's certainly... And I think James Harden sort of made it a lot easier for guys to score 50s and 60s, because he seemed to do it regularly for like two or three seasons there, mm-hmm. you know, where he would mm-hmm. do that. So, and you know, you do get those random guys come up and drop the 50 still, which does happen. But it doesn't seem quite as challenging as it used to be for guys to go out there and get those 50s. And
Come on, are you giving me a back in my day about scoring 50 and 60? It's still awesome. The only thing that's a problem is everybody calls it a 50 burger nowadays. It's always a burger, a 40 burger, a 60 burger. There's other foods out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't mind how 50 burger sounds, but you're right, there should be something else food related for 40s and 60s and 70s. I look at it like this, though. 60 now in today's game is... like a 50, right? Like the goalposts have changed a little bit. Like now when a guy scores 40, let's be honest, Trey, even you got to admit, like we don't really care all that much. We're like, oh, okay. There's like a couple guys that do it a night, it feels like. But so it's just like 50 is 40 and 60 is 50 and 76. Like it's just sort of moved in my opinion. And it's just, we have some unbelievable scores. And yes, the defense is sometimes not there. And it's an easier game for an offensive player, I think, in today's game, of course, than back in Lee Ellis's 80s days. but yeah, anyway, it's incredible. It is. And that's why we're leading with it in a loss. 60 is still 60. Yeah, it's a lot of points, but... Poor Bradley Beal. Another L. Yeah, I didn't check, but he's right. I remember a lot of these 50-plus games he's had.
Well, they were in back-to-back. They were in back-to-back nights as well.
That's it, yeah.
53 and then 55 against the Bulls, and I think it was the Pistons, maybe. Two losses last season. Because I remember him sitting on the bench for that second one, just kind of like, you know, holy hell, man. When am I going to get a win here? And the same thing last night. I mean, like, again, you've got to give credit to Philadelphia for the way they closed out the game, but... The bigger picture here for the Wizards is they're not going anywhere. They're not going anywhere right now. So I hope Beal can find his way to a better team.
Yeah, maybe the only thing that Beal is piling up besides points is reactions where he looks super sad. You know, we had the one where he got heckled in the hallway a couple of seasons back and he gave like the disturbed look at that. He's been like, he had a layup against the Bulls where the ball just flung out of his hands. A good steering wheel that doesn't fly off when you're driving just flew out. The guy's ashamed of himself. It was the same last night. Something's got to change. I mean, Scotty Brooks, people are going to be talking about Scotty Brooks even more so in the next couple of days, because the Wizards, they upgraded their talent. They're paying a lot more this year, and it still just looks bad. It just still looks like the exact same team. It looks like you're a lottery team. They were knocking on the door of the play-in tournament last year. They just weren't able to make it because the bubble was a disaster. It's like, I don't know, maybe Bradley Beal should try on defense a little bit more. Maybe he should be the leader on that side of the ball. Somebody's got to do something on that end. I'm not a big defense guy, but even I'm saying this is...
You gotta get some stops to win these games. Yeah.
How many 50-point games can you have where the other team scores 175,000?
Yeah. All right. Well, Beal wasn't the only one putting up monster numbers on Wednesday. Hornets forward Gordon Hayward went for a career-high 44. 44 in a win over the Hawks. The Pistons' Jeremy Grant scored a career-best 31 in a loss to the Bucks, and good old Malcolm Brogdon continued his strong play. He scored a career-high 35 points in a victory over the Rockets. So some notable names there. I should note, Kobe White, also a career night for him in a loss. But I didn't include him here in this What You Got because he's so young. These other guys, you know, they've been around for a minute here. So my cue is most surprising career high. Hayward, 44. Jeremy Grant, 31. Or Brogdon, 35. Which one surprised you most there, Trey?
I guess I would have to say that Jeremy Grant is the most surprising just because he's not quite as established as Gordon Hayward or Malcolm Brogdon. Obviously, mm-hmm. Hayward was an all-star back in the day. Malcolm Brogdon has been kind of knocking on the door as well. Maybe he could get back there again. But Jeremy Grant was a guy who left the Nuggets to go to the Pistons to have some more responsibility. There's a great article up on The Athletic that you can read from James Edwards III where he talks about also wanting to play for a black coach in a black city. Mm-hmm. Really great stuff. But to see him showing out for the Pistons, I think is pretty nice. You know, he had 31 last night. To me, the way his game looks as a featured scorer is very similar to Pascal Siakam, but he does it more so with strength rather than speed. You know, Jeremy Grant's throwing his body around there. The Bucks obviously are a good defense. Unfortunately, the Pistons got totally smoked. They lost this by 15. It wasn't really close, so these are kind of empty stats. But if you're a Pistons fan, you got to at least be a little bit encouraged that Jeremy Grant's able to be getting buckets against one of the best defenses in the league. Nobody knew what he would be like as one of the top options on a team. Right now, he's at 24 a game, shooting 44% from the field. Not great, but all right. 34 from three. He's going to be an okay player. I don't know if he's going to be a featured offensive guy, but they're at least letting him stretch his wings a little bit here, and it worked out all right last night.
Yeah, okay. Very surprising. Do you go with Jeremy Grant, or is it like someone like Hayward? Like maybe you're surprised, Lee, in the sense like, oh, that's his career high, you know? Gordon Hayward never dropped like 45 or 46 in a Jazz uniform or something like that. What do you got?
Well, the way that Gordon Hayward did it last night, he's almost like a Kyle Anderson, that he's in slow-mo a lot of the time, it feels like. Like he just gets the ball, he sort of just drifts around, then all of a sudden he stops, pops, and knocks in shots. And that's what he was doing last night. I mean, again, bigger picture of this one, this is a bad loss here for the Hawks. They were out of this one, I think, a lot. But Gordon Hayward, it's good to see if he can keep up these sort of performances. Obviously not going for 44 every night, but this could give the Hornets a little bit of a chance to at least get up into the beyond the play-in tournament, you know, get into the playoffs, because this is what they signed him for, to be the leader of that team. And last night he was just very good at picking his spots and picking his timing. Like, he's not the sort of guy who goes out there and goes charging around trying to go crazy on offense, you know, getting inside to the paint and that. He just waits, he's patient, and when the ball comes to him, he knocks down those shots. So the Hornets did a very good job with it. But I would have to say, I guess, overall, Jeremy Grant went to Detroit because he wanted a bigger role and a bigger opportunity as well. And he's really fulfilling that because he's actually fun to watch. There's not a lot of fun guys to watch on that Pistons team, but he is fun. And he was great in Denver. I loved watching him last year with the Denver Nuggets. So he's gone there. He's gone to a lesser team with lesser hope, but he's actually really fulfilling his role. He's most improved player right now. He's certainly in that conversation, I would have to say. But obviously more than that, he just wants to go to a situation where he's given more responsibility. He got paid the big bucks to do that, and now he's fulfilling it. So, I think the answer to the question, I would certainly say, is Jeremy Grant.
Yeah, he's like the opposite of Bradley Beal now that I think of it, Jeremy Grant. He's like, nah, the conference finals, all these wins, not for me. I'd rather try and score 60 points. Let me start with 30. Let me get to the Detroit Pistons. I won't get a lot of victories, but who cares? They should have been traded for each other. That would have been really good. I'm going to go with Hayward, though, because it was just a little shocking to me. And then I have two little notes to add to it as well. One, Gordon Hayward said it was a true career high. And what does he mean by that? He says it's the most points he had scored at any level. He never scored 40 in a high school game.
Wow.
I scored 40 in a high school game. I'm better than Gordon Hayward? Write the story. That's just crazy to me. That's wild if that is true. And I don't know why it wouldn't be. I don't know why he'd be lying about that. But my other favorite part, James Borrego, he said after the game, talking about Hayward making 15 to 25 shots, I was proud of Gordy.
Gordy!
Calls him Gordy. That's news to me. I like Gordo, but what with Gordy? That very Australian-like. Yeah, had the Y there. So there you go. So shocking that Hayward had not scored over 44 in an NBA game. That was a little surprising to me. I was like, again, like I just thought there was a Jazz game area where he exploded, but more surprising, he didn't do it in high school.
Yeah.
That's astonishing.
Yeah, what was going on? He was probably passing too much, to be honest. That's what it had to be. Maybe he was on fire and he's like, I got to get some of these guys involved. Got to see what Carl's doing over there in the corner. He likes to touch the ball or he's going to be mad at me at lunch the next day.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
But Hayward... Yeah, like Lee's saying, Hayward was awesome, man. He was exactly what the Hornets needed. He was making big man plays. Like, he was their role man a little bit, making plays from the short roll. He was catching and shooting. He was making ball handling plays. He was cutting on the baseline. He was kind of doing everything for the Hornets last night. It's a lot of money for him, but they got the money to burn. They don't have a lot of high-value assets on their teams right now, so let Gordon Hayward cook.
Yeah, and like you said, compared him to Kyle Anderson there, Lee, like that slow-mo vibes to him for sure. Yeah. I've made the crazy comparison before on this podcast that I see in a one particular move that Hayward does, LeBron-like qualities, that slow, methodical sort of, they're very strong. I mean, Gordon Hayward is a tank. He really is. Like, he's a strong dude. Where he just sort of like gets too into the paint there, and the guy just bounces off him like LeBron. And it's just like, I don't know how else to describe it. It's just so similar to me, that particular skill set or shot that they both have.
It's the deliberate move, I think.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to his spot and he's going to get there and he's going to get that shot off. That's what I saw last
strength
night from
too.
Him. Yeah, like he was in control of his game last night. He's very patient with it. Mm-hmm. And it's good to see. And, you know, the result was there for them as well, because 44 kind of quiet points in a pretty good win for them, really.
Yeah, a really good win. Like you said, putting the Hawks back to 500, I believe. And Malcolm Brogdon, let's just show him some love. I mean, this happening is 35. He had a big shot late in this one, too. He had just hit the game winner, you know, the game prior. This guy, I think right now, I remember we threw it out there, Trey. Like, we were like, are the Pacers possibly going to have two All-Stars? Like... Right now, I absolutely think the answer is yes. I think it would be Sabonis and Brogdon rightfully making a team with the record the Pacers have and without some of the other guys in the conference struggling or not living up to their potential yet. So, yeah. And then Oladipo's played well. I think Brogdon's ahead of him, though, even in the pecking order right now.
Yeah, feels like the same discussion we had with the Pacers last year. Who's going to be their all-star? Is it Brogdon? Is it Sabonis? It feels like it's been changing the first... week and a half of the season, it was Sabonis. He was averaging a triple-double. Now it's been Brogdon, hit the game winner, had a career high as well, like you're saying last night. The two of them, I think it's very funny that they're both always in the mix for an all-star bid because they're such great analogies to each other, really, because they both do everything from their position that you expect, right? Like, they both play defense. They both can create from the outside. They can score inside. They can both play away from the ball. They can have the ball in their hands. They're great. Pick and roll partners, great dribble handoff partners, which is why once the two of them got together in Indiana last season, both of their games really took off because they're both such high IQ players. It feels like they make the right play all the time and they're able to make the play that's necessary all the time. It'll probably go back and forth between these two up until the All-Star break, but maybe this is the year the Pacers get to.
Yeah, maybe. And I think it's crazy too that when you look at the Pacers, you talk about like their best players. There's no doubt, like, a couple years ago, you're looking at the Pacers roster and going, well, it's going to be Oladipo is going to be their best player, and he was, until the injury. And then Miles Turner, I think a lot of people would have had, like, right there with Oladipo. But instead, again, easy case we made. Those guys are the third and fourth best player on this team with Sabonis and Brogdon, the way they're playing, Lee.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, they've had the talent there, but I think with Miles Turner, for example, he had 8 blocks last night. Defensively, he was actually very good.
He's doing all the things he should be doing. You don't need to be worrying about scoring 25 a game. Yeah.
Yeah, but he also hasn't really lived up to his offensive potential at times. I think that's one of the problems with Miles Turner, because he can hit that three, but he's also sometimes just goes missing. But the thing with Brogdon, yeah, I mean, they got him from Milwaukee. They paid him the big bucks. A lot of people wondered if they overpaid for him. But I think you're getting pretty good value on him right now. He's a very steady hand. And that's, I think, something that Milwaukee has missed as well, him not being there. And, of course, Sabonis and Oladipo came over in the Paul George trade, which seems like that was about 10 years ago now. So the Pacers got very, very good value when you look at that. Sabonis, like we've said a lot, he's a very, very consistent, solid, strong guy. Knows how to score inside. Very rarely does he sort of get beaten when he's inside, because he can use those gigantic shoulders and arms to create space for himself and just go with some dinkers and dumpers inside. It's very good. But he also spreads the floor. He's a good passer. Yeah. They just play good team basketball. They're third in the East right now. the Indiana Pacers. They're 6-2, and they we just always overlook them coming into the season. You look at that roster and you think they don't have that, you know, one sort of superstar who can go out there and get you 45 or 50 points, but they're very well balanced. And I think that's the key to Indiana. They've just been like that for so many years. You know, they're good defensively, they're good offensively, and you just kind of overlook them because you're like, you sort of think, well, other teams with better talent should be able to beat this team, but that's not the case with them.
Got some sad what you got options here in this next one. Magic guard Markelle Fultz suffered a season-ending torn ACL last night, less than 5 minutes into the game. Fultz driving in there, cut off by Okoro, and Fultz's left knee buckled without contact. That's a tough loss. And then meanwhile, the Pistons announced yesterday that rookie point guard Killian Hayes is out indefinitely after suffering a torn labrum in his right hip earlier in the week. He didn't play in last night's game versus the Bucks. So, more heartbreaking injury. Fultz's ACL or rookie Killian Hayes' torn hip. What you got, Trey?
Well, I mean, the answer is both, but the answer is also Markelle Fultz because just the way his career has gone. Obviously, he was the number one draft pick his rookie year. Still a mystery what happened. He had to remake his body, had to remake his game, and he did it. Like, he became a solid starting point guard for the Magic last season. 12 points a game, 5 assists. He shot 73% from the free throw line, which is a huge improvement considering it seemed like he would never take a shot in the NBA for a long time. He was able to be a solid starter for the Magic, and now after having recreated his career, he's going to have to start over again. The good part is that he's still young, man. He's still only 22 years old. He'll obviously be 23, knocking on the door of 24 when he comes back to the Magic next season. But it's just tough. You know, the Magic are already missing Michael Carter-Williams as well, another ball handler. They don't have a lot of ball handling to begin with. It's going to be the Cole Anthony show, which I'm kind of okay with. A little more Terrence Ross as well. But just a bummer for Markelle Fultz, who has been able to turn around his career. No doubt about it. He could have easily been out of the league, but teams were definitely going to give him a chance. The Magic did. It's paid off so far. Hopefully he's able to get back and become a contributor again.
Yeah, he was playing even better than he was last year. I think you would agree with that, Lee. And he did get paid. I mean, he got the 3-year, $50 million extension last month. They believed in him that he can, you know, be a solid point guard in this league. This sucks for Magic fans. This is the second starter now. Star player, really, on your team, one of them, that's out with an ACL tear because they're already missing Jonathan Isaac from the same 2017 draft. Yeah. Him being sidelined with the same injury. So, yeah, I assume you're going Fultz with this one, too?
Yeah, this is one of those ones that when you see this news coming through and they pretty quickly diagnose a torn ACL, you're just like, oh, my God, like how many more sort of setbacks can this guy face before he can get out there and play again? And he was starting to play well, I think, very comfortable in that role, comfortable in that situation too in Orlando. There wasn't the same attention on him as he faced when he was in Philadelphia. I mean, number one picks always get it no matter where they are, but he was down there, he was starting to feel a little bit more comfortable in his role and playing some good basketball too. Some nice highlights of his were out there, and now that he's going to be gone for at least this season is really bad. Killian Hayes, I mean, the rookie, it's obviously very sad for him too. But that injury, again, we haven't had a timetable on it, but you expect he'll be back certainly before Markelle Fultz will be. So, yeah, all the best to Markelle. Hope he can come back and resurrect his career again.
Yeah. Do you believe that the Magic can continue their hot start here with Cole Anthony, a rookie point guard, getting obviously a majority of these point guard minutes?
I would say no, because it is tough for a rookie to sort of go into that situation and live up to the expectations. But he has shown some highlights and shown some pretty good, he's comfortable on the team. But now the expectation, the minutes, the role, the attention he's going to get is just going to be so much bigger. So I do expect the Magic to drop off a little bit, but they've surprised me so far with their start. They've been good. Just a team that's sort of flying under the radar, a little bit like the Indiana Pacers. So maybe they benefit a little bit from teams overlooking them, perhaps. You know, that might be one of those situations. So, but Cole Anthony certainly for a lot of rookies hasn't looked overwhelmed in the minutes that he's played so far.
Trey, do you agree with that? Do you think the Magic, I mean, I don't know even who they would go and possibly try and get. They're going to get some, like, disabled player exceptions here, I assume. They'll have some money to work with. But I can't think of anyone off the top of my head that you're plugging in there, at least in a backup position. But what do you think?
It's going to be tough. Cole Anthony, I like him as a player. He looks like he's going to be exciting, but like you're saying, he's a rookie. He's shooting some pretty abysmal percentages right now, and now he's going to be in an even bigger role. But maybe this is a chance for Aaron Gordon to step in and be the playmaker that he's thought he is throughout his career. They've been multiple times in his Orlando career where he's kind of been the premier creator out there from the perimeter. He fancies himself a point forward at times. Mm-hmm. They're going to need that now. They're going to need somebody to create because Terrence Ross, I like watching him play. He's a really good six man. He can get some buckets, but they need somebody who can make plays for others because Vucevic, more of a finisher than a creator as well. So they got to figure out a way to get the most out of Aaron Gordon right now with Markel Fultz going down.
Yeah, I have a feeling a lot of people might be selling Orlando Magic stock, and not just because of the Fultz injury, but they've had a pretty easy schedule. They're 6-2, which is awesome. They beat the Heat in their opening game. Okay, nice, quality win. Then they played the Wizards twice, got both victories there. They beat OKC, all right, twice. Excuse me, no, they played them twice, did lose once, and then they played the Cavs twice and beat them twice. So really, we're looking at like the Wizards, the Cavs, and the Thunder. They played six combined times. They lost to Philly in the mix there too. So yeah, the schedule's obviously going to get a little more difficult, and we'll see if the Magic can continue their winning ways like one of these teams, like Lee Ellis' team. But first, the Celtics rookie Peyton Pritchard's put back with 0.2 seconds capped a wild finish. The Celtics held on to beat the Heat 107-105. Meanwhile, in the Garden, Austin Rivers scored 23 points, including 14 straight for the Knicks down the stretch. Lee Ellis' New York Knicks, as they won their third straight, they beat the Jazz 112-100. New York is 5-3. So, Mo, what you got for you and everyone in the stream team and listening? Wednesday night's bigger hero, is it Pritchard? Son of a Pritchard man, or is it Austin Rivers? What you got, Lee?
Gotta be Austin Rivers. Did you see him just cooking the Jazz there? The score was tied at like 96 with 4 minutes to go, and then Austin Rivers just took over like he was Michael Jordan in the Garden there, hitting those step back threes, dancing around Rudy Gobert, and then talking trash as well. That's what I like about Austin Rivers. Like, he's a sort of guy who went to this situation, talked about this the other day, and he was like, listen, you know, the Knicks have been a bit of a joke, but we're here to work hard. We're here to be professional. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's backing up his words by going out there and leading that team. He's playing hard on defense. And then when the situation is there, he did not shy away from it last night. He wanted that moment, and he backed it up by hitting those four threes. And it was just incredible to watch. And then just he was getting the chest bumps from his teammates. He was talking trash because the Jazz, this was an important game for them to bounce back after their awful performance against the Nets. And they did in the first half. They looked like they were in control of this game. And then it came down to money time, and Austin stepped up, and he just took over this performance. This was incredible to watch. I love watching it. I love watching the Garden, even though there was no fans there. But Austin Rivers on that big stage delivered, and it was incredible.
Yeah, this is where I'm pissed off. This is where I hate COVID, because I would love to be experiencing this with MSG packed full of Knicks fans and Austin Rivers hitting four threes in the final 4 minutes. The place would be going insane. So I'm upset that we're robbed of that.
The Knicks bench was going crazy.
I know, they're doing their part, but can you imagine MSG? What's going on right now with Randall and Quickly and Austin Rivers? But he was a hero on Wednesday night. Can you make a case for Pritchard, TK?
No, no way. It was definitely Austin Rivers. The Knicks are 3-1 since Austin Rivers came back. He's been clutch. He's the sixth man of the year right now, I think you would say. I wouldn't be surprised if they hang a number 8 jersey in the rafters at MSG once fans are allowed back. You got Austin Rivers, you got J.R. Smith, you got Latrell Sprewell, ooh, Robin Lopez, Mario Hezonja. We're talking Knicks legends here. The guy's been incredible. They need somebody to play with the ball in his hands, and he's been able to do it. Randall as well has been great. As for the Beantown boys, last night it was more like the Boardtown boys. This game was all about the offensive rebound, Skeets.
Yep.
Peyton Pritchard obviously had the big tip to win things at the end there, but also Jason Tatum had a tip right at the end of the buzzer at the end of the third quarter. Daniel Tice had a big tip in with a minute left. Bam Adebayo had a big offensive rebound that he kicked out to Goran Dragic for a three with 13 seconds left. If you're a fan of rebound highlights, you got to go back and watch this game.
Go back and watch this. Yeah, Pritchard is sneaking in there and beating the buzzer. I mean, it's well played.
They nearly blew that one, the Celtics.
Oh, right? I know.
With like a minute 10 to go.
It was a weird game, that one.
Yeah.
Very, very weird game. But the Celtics held on, got the victory. And the Heat, yeah, Heat are, not doing well in the standings right now. They can't string together victories. I think they've alternated wins and losses all season long. Someone will have to fact check me on that, but I don't think they've got a winning streak put together yet. Although a streak is 3 in a row. Didn't we confirm that once? 2 doesn't count, I think. But even in their case, they don't have two in a row.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Skeets. Lost the first game of the season, and then it's been a switch, boom, every boom, time boom. Back. And guess what? They got the Wizards on Saturday, so it will likely continue to be the alternating switch-ups.
So, and Beal will go for 50 in a loss, but the Heat will win. That'll probably be how it goes. All right, that's a little what you got. Again, let's hear your answers. Tweet at us at No Dunks Inc. I've done that before. Or let us know in the stream team, speaking of dinks, streaming. Let's take a break, though. We will address some other games.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I heard Penn and Teller also had a 100% happiness guarantee. Tass got his money back that night. He wasn't that excited about the show. Gary, I guess, got his money back. I don't know if Gary gave it to Tass, but I don't know how that works. Do you think Penn and Teller like each other?
Well, one of the guys doesn't even speak, does he? So they can't really fight with each other.
Nailed it. I thought I saw something once, like a headline that they were fighting or something. But I don't even know if I just made that up. But I may have dreamt that, now that I think about it. But what do you think? You think they've ever fought, TK?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, which one talks? Which is the one that actually talks? Penn and Talker? I don't know.
Penn talks.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I can see it going either way, to be honest with you. Penn being mad that Teller won't shut up, or Teller being like, come on, man, give me something here. For once in our career, talk to me. Surely they've fought, but you would never know it.
I just Googled, do they get along? And it basically, the one quote is, we have never had a cuddly friendship. It was a very cold, calculated relationship where we thought we would do stuff together. Then we do stuff better together than we do stuff separately. So I don't think they actually get along.
Wow. So they just go out there, kill it on the Magic show, and then see you later. Peace out. Disappear.
It's hard to believe, because at some points Penn is aiming a gun at Teller's head. I mean.
Yeah.
Okay. One thing I found was funny about their show is they sort of keep reminding us that, like, it's magic, okay? So it's a trick. You're not seeing what you think you're seeing. Yeah. You know, almost like blowing the cover on his whole scheme there, you know, like saying, like, we're tricking you, okay? So this is not actually magic. We don't actually have, like, you know, like when he does his, like, he puts his hands in the fish tank and all of a sudden, like, 20 fish come out. He's like, it's not real, okay? It's a trick.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they had another television show where they did exactly that. And they showed you, like, how the trick was happening, or like magicians would come on and try and stump them.
Yeah, that's the one. That's Flawless.
That's one you're talking about. Oh, yeah, that was called. Yeah. Okay.
There's a guy, right? He's got the cube like this. I've still got it.
Yeah.
Because once you get hold of it, you can't let go of it. And he throws it Anyway, he throws it over his shoulder.
Lee tries throwing it behind his back. And
he catches it, and it's solved. And it's like, wow, that's incredible. You know.
Right.
Matt, you couldn't even do the trick of throwing it over your shoulder from behind.
Now I've lost it somehow. Hang on, it's here.
Oh, if he picks it up and it's solved, this is going to be
amazing. This would be awesome. This would be incredible. Pick it up. Come on, show us.
Whoa. Nah. See? It's a trick.
Ta-da! Yeah,
maybe that's the trick. Him just catching it is the trick. And no one's too distracted to know that it's not solved.
Okay, well, we've discussed a ton of the games already from last night, but there were 11 on, and there's some other ones I know you guys want to quickly address. So, you know, it's as simple as that. Trey, is there another game from last night that you had your eye on or you had a big takeaway from?
Oh, you know it, Skeets. The Unstoppables era was very short-lived. Hate to say it. Huge games for Zach LaVine and Coby White against the Kings last night. Coby, like you mentioned, had a career high, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. What did he end up with? 36? I'm trying to pull the stats right here. 36 for Coby White, 32 for Zach LaVine. They were both great, but the defense for the Bulls was not good enough. De'Aaron Fox went out early in this game. Buddy Hield was struggling. This was right before a doubleheader the Bulls are going to have against both of the Los Angeles teams, but they just couldn't get enough stops, basically at the point of impact. Tyrese Halliburton was incredible. 15 points in the fourth quarter, making every single play. He looked like the fastest guy out there. He looked like the smartest guy out there. He hit a huge three from the corner to really ice this game for the Kings, but it wasn't just Tyrese Halliburton. Harrison Barnes was cooking Otto Porter on the regular last night, just off the dribble, couple of pounds straight to the hoop, and then he's either dishing it or scoring it at the bucket. A great start to the season for Harrison Barnes. And then Rashawn Holmes and Sunbags, Marvin Bagley III, were both pretty solid last night. You know, Marvin Bagley ended up with 12 rebounds. Rashawn Holmes ended up with 24 points. Their effort, their energy was a game changer for the Kings. They looked really good last night. The Bulls, I thought, played hard. They played good enough to win, but they weren't able to pull it out because the Kings were just a little bit better. There was no defense from Zach and Coby, despite the fact that they were scoring offensively, and that was the problem. The bigs were taking a lot of blame last night for the Bulls playing their drop coverage, but I thought, like Billy Donovan said, it was more so on Zach LaVine, Coby White, and the other perimeter players not being able to keep the Kings out of the lane.
Yeah, which is crazy, like you said, with Fox going out in this one. I mean, yeah, you can understand struggling with Fox trying to stay in front of him, but you're right, he leaves and they still can't stop anybody out there on the perimeter. Halliburton, my God. I mean, you can understand why everyone was confused why this guy slipped now. Like, there's a lot of teams ahead of them.
I was like, he couldn't have stayed out for one more game, buddy? Come on. We were talking about him being hurt last year, but yesterday,
yeah,
he looked like the rookie of the year yesterday. He was the best player on the court in the fourth quarter, I thought. And, you know, that was a guy that the Bulls were mocked to be taken, too.
Yeah.
Patrick Williams, not a great game. Patrick Williams has been pretty solid this season. I do like his future. Maybe he's another Thaddeus Young. Maybe he gets even better than that. But Halliburton, he was balling.
Yeah, 15 points, 6 of 7 shooting, 4 boards, 2 steals, a block, and an assist, and no turnovers in the quarter, in the fourth quarter. I mean, it's crazy. Sorry, go ahead, Lee.
Well, the question is, how are the Kings going to mess it up then with Halliburton out there? Because it's like, these things don't usually fall into their lap. You know, they're the ones who usually, you know, blow it somehow or keep him on the bench and he can't get out there, or they trade him away and he stars somewhere, so maybe they'll get this one right. Who knows?
Oh, I would hope so. They're 4-2 when he plays and 0-2 right now when he's out. And we talked a little bit on Beach Steppin', actually, early rookie of the year front runners. And we talked about Wiseman and Edwards and Ball and a couple of the other guys. And, you know, we said Halliburton would probably be at the top of the list if he hadn't missed some of these games. And at the end of it all, if you miss a handful of games, it's not going to matter. I mean, you can still win Rookie of the Year, of course. You know, missing 5-10 games. Heck, Joel Embiid almost won it. Missing, like, what, 40 games or something like that, 50 games. You got close. But Halliburton might be a Brogdon-like guy, where it's just like, this guy just does everything. This guy's just solid as a rock. Because he's instrumental right now in Kings victories. He makes them a lot more fun to watch, too. Holy crap. So, great, great victory there from the Kings. Tough loss for your Unstoppables, who are stoppable, it turns out. And, yeah, two tough games coming up here now with both LA. Hopefully, they just sort of, like, don't care. Maybe the Lakers will get bit in the butt here.
Oh, the Bulls are going to get one in LA.
You think so?
Guaranteed.
Yeah, I could see that. Lee, was there another game that we haven't touched on that you wanted to address?
Well, I'm going to the New Orleans-Oklahoma City game. Now, the Pels lost this one, but I really just want to address the fact that Steven Adams registered a triple-double last night with 5 field goal attempts. It was the classic Jason Kidd triple-double. 10 points, 10 assists, 11 rebounds.
Wow.
Now, I'm going to have a little bit of fun here with my New Zealand friends and say I think this might be the greatest sporting achievement in New Zealand's history. Because we used to poke fun at Kiwis because their highest paid athlete used to be Tiger Woods' caddy, Steve Williams. I don't know if you remember old Stevie Williams. <Yeah. there. laughs> Now, Steven Adams has probably overtaken him in career earnings now because he's gotten that big couple of deals there. But, I mean, we talk about unlikely guys to go for 50. What sort of... How deep would we have had to have gone to pick Steven Adams to register a triple-double? I mean, you know, you talk about, like, do we overlook 50-point games as well? It's like, they're not that special. Well, what about a Steven Adams triple-double? I mean, who's I can't think of anyone more unlikely in NBA history who's got who's registered a triple-double. Sometimes at the end of the season. Well, sometimes at the end of the season, you know, those games that are just garbage games, some guy will come out and do it when no one's really paying attention.
Yeah, Ben Uzo.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. But that was like game 75 of the season or whatever. This was like in a, you know, in a game that was so close, and the Pelicans lose there by a point. So I mean, that was just an incredible achievement there from Stevie. His career high, I think, in assists prior to this game was 6.
That's right. I just looked it up. He had a game last year where he had 6 assists. But prior to that, it was always 5 or 4 or even 3 when he was.
And it was the points that he got last as well of that triple double. You know, he had the 8 because if he'd finished 2 points or a point short of a triple double, that would have just been just devastating there. But crazy stuff. I'm sure a few of my New Zealand friends will start saying, what are you talking about?
I was gonna say are there other notable Kiwi athletes who have had success?
Well, their biggest sporting accomplishment is winning the Rugby Union World Cup, which they've won a couple of times. They've also choked a couple of times as well and blown it.
But, you just can't help yourself.
They've won the America's Cup, you know, the yachting. Does anyone really care about that? Not really. Australia won it in 1983.
Oh, yeah, you care when they win it, yes.
Yeah, we haven't won it since, I don't think, so no one cares. But, yeah, that was always so funny how the highest paid New Zealand athlete was Tiger Woods' caddy.
Do you consider a caddy an athlete?
Well, that's,
I know it's part of the joke, but
yeah, those bags are heavy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just starting to think about it. I was like, why not? Okay, learning some things here. You're going to hear from the Kiwis for sure, but huge game from Adams. In the loss, that was a crazy ending to that one, too. There's some pretty controversial calls, and it was a weird victory for OKC in the end. But that was, a Steven Adams revenge game, right?
Yeah, in some ways, yeah.
Sure, the revenge triple-double. All right, well, I'm glad we snuck those in there. We also snuck in a couple wedgies last night, guys. Yeah, 2 more. First one, Heat-Celtics. We had a precious wedgie. Oh, man.
Precious.
Little block wedgie. And then later on, it was the Wizards-Sixers game. And it's Bradley Beal. Yeah, not only does the guy go for 60, he also sticks a wedgie early in the third quarter. So we are up to 6 on the season. Not a bad little start. How many weeks in are we in? 2.5, 3 weeks?
Yeah, this is the third week. People yesterday on Twitter were saying 2021 year of the wedgie. Maybe they're back.
I think so. And I think Tass said it on What You Need to Know. Schumann can fact check this, but Bradley Beal's got to be the first player in NBA history to go for 60 and stick a wedgie in the same game.
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah. It would have been great when he said, like, I'm mad. I'm pissed off we lost. But you know what? I did get a wedgie, so I'm not that mad.
That would have been worse.
That would have been incredible. Yeah. So, we're up to 6. So, keep sending us in wedgies that we may not miss. I know you guys are doing a fantastic job on Instagram and Twitter, just at NoDunksInc, and it really helps. You, of course, let us know what game it happened, but give us a time frame, like when in the third quarter, when in the second quarter, whenever, so we can easily find it and get it up, just in case we're not watching that particular game. All right, we got to take one more break, but we still got Tweet of the Night.
Whoa! Mac is back! You ever wish you could have it both ways? I do. Like a zero-calorie cheeseburger or staying up late but not feeling exhausted in the morning. Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort. But you can have it both ways with Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon makes timeless apparel with modern performance fabrics for guys who want to look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. From their light-as-air underwear to innovative anti-odor tees and versatile yet comfortable pants, Mack Weldon has a full range of clothes that never go out of style. I've got some polos, some tees, some undies, and I love them. Simple, soft, stylish. In fact, I'm wearing Mack Weldon right now. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of modern life. They look like regular clothes, but feel like the latest in modern comfort. If you told me my silver PK polo was made from 100% cotton, I would 100% believe you. But those antimicrobial silver threads keep me feeling fresher longer. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to macweldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code NODUNKS. That's MACKWELDON.com, promo code NODUNKS.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Lee, you have the honor for Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
What do you got, Lily?
So I have a tweet that's accompanied by a video here, and it came from Josh Kern last night.
Okay.
And here's the video before the Raptors and the Suns game. And it's Fred VanVleet and Stanley Johnson having a little wager. Now, Fred, from half court, knocks it in. And look at Pascal comes over here to sort of congratulate. Now, look at Fred. Look at Fred doing the cash counting thing. Like,
oh, yeah.
what do you think they're betting on something like that? I mean, you're taking $1,000, $5,000, $100.
Wow. Yeah. My gut says $100.
I mean,
$1,000. I mean, yeah, Freddie, it's from half court. I mean, that's not it. He's going to hit that, I don't know what, 3 out of 10 times, maybe? I don't know.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like Fred's got paid, so he's got money to burn these days. So maybe he's like, all right, Stanley doesn't earn as much. Like, here's a chance to pad your salary a little bit here. Maybe let's just have $5,000. But I just love the way that Fred just stood there like that, really.
Oh, yeah. Now, see, it could have been one of those situations where you just go, you know, $100 if I make it. And then the guy just says, yeah, like not thinking he's going to make it. Like there's no like, if I miss, I also give you $100.
Right,
you
know,
get that. Yeah, it's possible. But wow, what a shot. What a shot from VanVleet. Yeah, Raptors lost too. We didn't even address that.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, they played better. They played better, but the Suns couldn't miss from three. They hit a ton of threes. But what do you think the bet was there, TK?
I'm guessing over $1,000, $2,500 maybe. I mean, you're right, Lee. Stanley Johnson doesn't make a lot compared to Fred VanVleet, but he makes $3.8 million this year. Betting $1,000 is nothing, and they're going to put something on the line. It's not going to be just a, hey, if you make it, I'll pay you. If not, we'll let it slide. Come on, man. These guys are competitive. Of course, Fred VanVleet's out there trying to make it tough on Stanley Johnson, trying to make Stanley Johnson think, am I going to be able to buy Chipotle after this? I don't know. Yeah, he will be able to, but Fred Shirley is betting on himself. Literally, that's his slogan, right? Bet on yourself. Yeah. I'm going to make this from half court, and then you're going to pay me. You don't want to go against Fred VanVleet in a contest like that. He wears 23. He's from Illinois. You know how it goes.
$1,000. Yeah, you guys are talking me into it now. I mean, because I'm like thinking, yeah, $1,000 to them is like $100 to everybody else. Like maybe actually not even.
$10, yeah.
Yeah, right.
But it's also
point
it's
from
also
Robbie Griffey on the stream team who says, Gary Payton bet Brent Barry $1,000 to do a dance in the three-point contest. And that was 30 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever it was.
Yeah. What were you going to say there,
Luke? Well, it's the brag and the flex more so than the money, I think, isn't it? Just like, yeah, I told you I was going to knock this in, and now I'm just going to like rub it into your face here by celebrating, dancing it up.
Oh, I mean, anytime I play cards or any sort of board game and there's a little bit of money on the line, it's not, I'm not pumped to win the $10 from my buddy Grish. I'm just pumped because I beat my buddy Grish. He's not going to hear the end of it. Yeah, it's like the money makes it a little more exciting, but it's like we just keep handing back the same $10, $20.
Exactly.
It just makes it a little bit more fun, but it's beating your friend or your teammate and something like that. Well, Lee, here's the question for you then. How much would you bet on yourself to hit that shot that VanVleet hit right there? Like you and I right now, like you threw it out there. What would you say?
What could I afford to lose versus how much would be worth that victory? I would go against you, I would say $100. $100.
$100?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'll take that bet.
All right.
You get one shot to hit that, 100%. I'll take that bet any day of the week.
All right.
Hell of a shot. I mean, I wouldn't even be upset if you hit it. I'll give you $200. There you go. I'll give you odds. Here we go. Regulation size court. We're not playing your little rinky dinky backyard court.
Honestly, it's easy though on a regular size hoop because that rinky dink thing that I've got, oh man, it doesn't give you any favors if you don't swish
really?
It.
Really? You don't have one of those ones that you just hit the backboard anywhere and that thing will die and go in?
I guess it does sort of, when it hits a backboard, it sort of just stops dead there, but hitting the rim, it just clunks off unless you're swishing it, basically. So.
All right. You got mesh on your net? You got mesh, right?
Oh, yeah. Of course. Stupid course.
Yeah. Well, you take so many shots, I thought that mesh would be like all frayed and hanging off by now. I don't know. All right.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's great. Yeah, but I can't shoot on a meshless hoop. I hate playing outside basketball, indoor basketball as well without a net. It's just you can't play.
Well, that's the debate you see going around Instagram or Twitter every once in a while. What's worse, double rim or the hoop with no mesh on it?
No mesh, for sure. I still can't believe since we moved here to Atlanta, the outdoor courts have mesh nets. Like anywhere else I've played in the world, they put up the net once, and once it breaks, that's it. No one ever replaces it. But here, where you play, you guys have played up there at Underwood a few times. Yep. When it breaks, even when it's only got like one or two of those strings have broken, they replace the whole thing, which is
awesome.
I mean, that's what you want. That's what you want your tax dollars to go to.
I'm with you. Unfortunately, we have no rims up right now in most places in this city, which fair enough. But yeah. What's the answer for that one, TK? Double rims or no mesh? What would you prefer to play on?
I would prefer to play on double rims. I hate playing likely on a rim with no net because when you're playing with me, I'm not worried about the outside jumper anyways. I'm going to be bricking away from outside regardless, so I'd rather at least know it goes in when I'm shooting a layup inside. You know, I'm shooting shots from 4 to 6 feet away, not 24 to 6 like my mate Lee out there.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's hear from you guys with that one. I always love that question. Double rims suck, too. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I hate playing on a net with no mesh, too, but God, sometimes, like, you show up at that court and, like, oh, no. It just, like, makes for the longest games ever, man. It's like the double rims is not kind when there's already a little wind outside, whatever weird ball you're playing with. Ooh, can be some long games out there.
It's not just the double rim that's the problem, too. It's when they have the double rim, it's always on a metal backboard, right? So there's like no touch. I'm a guy who uses the glass a lot, and when the glass is made of metal, that thing rockets off there. And then you're trying to make it into that double rim. What a bag of beans.
Yeah, yeah. Those are so bad sometimes. You're like, if you're on a fast break layup, like, don't even go off the glass. Like, just lay it up over the rim, over the double rim if you can. Because you're right. That thing just skyrockets off that thing. All right, tonight's, before tonight's pick-em results from last night, just quickly. I was the only one to take the Clippers to win by 5 or more. They pulled it out. Mm-hmm. LAC gets the victory for me. I'm 5-4. Everybody else took the Warriors to cover the somewhat small spread. They nearly did, but they didn't. So that's a loss for Lee and Trey and Tass. Tass and Lee, 4-5. Trey, you're 3-6. Again, I'm 5-4. Tonight's pick 'em game, Philly Nets. Of course, no KD. We'll see what Philly does with some of their guys in a back-to-back situation. Philly's favored by 2.5 on the road. Take that into account. I'll go first. I'm taking Philly. I'm going to keep running with this team. Looking damn good. I'm excited to see if both are playing. Jared Allen versus Joel Embiid could be a nice little matchup inside with those two bigs. But I'll go Philly to keep up this hot streak, this hot start to cover or win by 3 or more. Who do you got, Lee?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Philly as well. This is a first real tough sort of potential game for them, even though Kevin Durant isn't out because Kyrie Irving can still go out there and get it for you. But a little concerned about the Nets defense. So I think Philadelphia has got enough, even though, as you say, back-to-back, I wonder if everyone will play. I think Lord. That's enough, though. I still believe a little more in Philadelphia right now.
Trey?
I'm going with the Sixers as well. They are playing pretty well right now. Tobias Harris also is playing well, so even if somebody like Embiid sits, Doc Rivers has done a good job getting the best out of Tobias Harris. No surprise. Give me the Sixers for now, but I would not be surprised. Kyrie Irving, 50 tonight. We just talked about little guards can give the Sixers problems.
True.
Let's see Kyrie. He was balling the last time we saw him playing, so he's able to have a couple of 25-point halves. It adds up.
It does. Mass checks out. All right, we all have Philly. Let's hear who Tess has.
Hi, everyone. I'll take the Nets. I think they're better than their record, and I don't think they're going under 500 again against a tired Sixers team.
Okay. Tass, the only one taking Brooklyn. He gets the points, +2.5. Philly has to win by 3 for Lee and Trey and myself to pick up the W. 5 games on tonight. A little more manageable than the 11 there on a Wednesday night. Sixers-Nets is the first one on TNT. Mavs-Nuggets is the second one. Could have some scoring in that one. Also got Cavs, Grizzlies, Spurs, Lakers, and then the Wolves and Blazers. Actually, a lot of late games on tonight, Lili. So you're going to have a late night or very early morning, I assume.
Both.
Oh. You know, you're going to be up all night trying to figure out that Rubik's Cube.
Better stock up on energy.
Yeah.
All right, we'll call it there. If you're in the mood, go grab some No Dunks items at nodunks.com. We got hoodies, t-shirts, mugs, rep the brand. And now is the time to consider grabbing yourself an Athletic subscription. Trust me, go to theathletic.com/nodunks where you can sign up for just $3.99 a month for the best damn sports writing in the world. I told you, we got a Beach Steppin' podcast. It's up. We dropped it yesterday. Had Tass on that. It was a lot of fun. Keep your questions coming. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, solving a Rubik's Cube does not require magic. Just the internet.
Embrace the day, people.
You could stay.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.